Good morning and greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Great to see you all this Sunday morning, and we thank and praise God for another opportunity the Lord has given to us to fellowship with God's people and to listen to His precious word. This morning, Brother Jeet has posted a beautiful verse just taken from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. It says that you may be blameless and harmless children of God, and in this perverse and wicked generation, that you may shine as lights in this world. Isn't it true that we are living in a perverse generation? And that verse is connected to my message this morning as well. So for this morning, turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. And we'll read at least 29 verses responsively. I'm going to read verse 1. You can read verse 2. We'll continue till verse 29. Just to save some time. Genesis chapter 19. And I'm going to read verse 1. You can read verse 2. We'll continue till verse 29. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. He said, "Then now, my Lord, please tell me your servant's house, and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city of the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. Verse 5, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place." Verse 13, "For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But his son-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them out, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, let you be destroyed." And the Lord said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." Now the city is near enough to flee, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. It is a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said to him, See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. His wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Then he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain. And behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. May God bless the reading of his word and add his blessings for his name's sake. The subject of my message this morning is the portrait of a carnal Christian taken from the life and character of Lot. Now the question is, who is a carnal Christian? Now someone defined it rightly. A carnal Christian is a saved man but lost in the world. A carnal Christian is driven by the flesh. A carnal Christian lives by the desires of the flesh. He gratifies his senses. The scripture says, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, verse 16, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then verse 17 says, the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we see, Paul says, I do not call you spiritual, but carnal, because you are acting like babies. I have fed you with milk, but you are not with solids, but you are not able to take it. Even Paul, writing to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 8, if you read verses 5, 6 and 7, it says, a carnal mind is enmity against God. A carnal mind is driven by flesh. He lives by the lust of the flesh. Now, if the name of this man, Lot, was not mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 6 and 7 as a righteous man, we would have written him off as an unbeliever. But we know, according to the scriptures, Lot was a righteous man, but he was a carnal man. He was driven by the things of the flesh and the world. Now today I would like to share briefly with you, what are the characteristics of a carnal Christian? And what is the world in which he lives? The first thing that we see from the scripture is, a carnal Christian is influenced by the world. A carnal Christian pursues worldly goals. A carnal Christian is attracted by the world. A carnal Christian is consumed by the world. Now we know that Lot was the nephew of this great man of faith, Abraham. Now there was a time when God called Abraham to leave his place, Mesopotamia, and from there to come to the promised land. In obedience, Abraham left his kindred, his family, his place, and he starts a journey towards the promised land. So when he started his journey, he also comes with his brother and his nephew, or his brother's son, by name Lot. Now they come to the promised land. At some point of time, there was a famine, and both of them, they go to Egypt in disobedience to God's call. And we know that Abraham learned a valuable lesson, and he returns from Egypt and he comes back to the place that God wanted him to be. Now, after that, at some point of time in their journey together, there was a strife. There was a quarrel between Abraham and Lot. Now, if you turn for a minute to Genesis chapter 13, and when you read verse 7, it says, there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So in their journey together, there was a strife. There was a quarrel between Abraham and Lot. And see what this godly man Abraham does. When you read verse 8, he says, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. And he says a beautiful phrase, for we are brethren. Isn't it? Now here we see a godly man going along, bearing with a carnal Christian, a carnal man. And when there was a strife, he comes to him and he says, Lord, we are brethren. Why are we quarreling? Why there are disputes? Why not we separate ourselves? If you turn left, I will take the right. If you turn right, I will turn left. Abraham humbled himself. And you know what Lot would have said? Lot was spiritually benefited from this godly man Abraham. Lot would have humbled himself and would have said, Uncle Abraham, there are many things that unite us than things that divide us. Why not we get along? Why not we work together? But do you know what Lot did? He took the opportunity because he was a carnal man. He looked to the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw the fertile lands and the plains of Jordan. If you see in chapter 13, he says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Lord lifted his eyes. Lord should have lifted his eyes towards his uncle Abraham. And you have said, Uncle, let us work together. Let us mend our ways. Let us not have any differences. But Lord was a carnal man. What did he do? He lifted his eyes and he saw the fertile plains of Jordan up towards Sodom and Gomorrah. The scripture says, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, they were like the garden of the Lord. They were like the garden of Egypt. Very attractive, very pleasant to the eyes, very appealing. And then it says, it was like the Egypt. Anything around the river Nile was fertile. It was green. There was plenty of vegetation. It was a beautiful landscape. It was very attractive to the eyes. Egypt in the scripture represents the world. And in the same way, Sodom and Gomorrah, the fertile plains of Jordan, also represents the world. Now here we see a carnal man, Lot. He was influenced by the world. Lot wanted to have the best of both the worlds. Let me tell you, as a Christian and as a believer, we cannot divide our affections between the world and Christ. We should be dedicated and we should be committed in Christ and to the work of Christ. The first thing that we see is a carnal Christian is influenced by the world. That's why first thing, see the progress of a carnal Christian. He looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the next we see, he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And finally, when we come to chapter 19 and verse 1, we see him sitting at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was literally inside Sodom and Gomorrah. Now the lesson that you and I learn is we should not be influenced by the world. We should not be attracted to the things of the world. We should not pursue worldly goals, but instead we should be influenced by the word of God. We should be influenced by godly people like Abraham. That is the first thing that we see about a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is influenced by the world. And the second thing that we see is a carnal Christian is enslaved by the world. In other words, he is controlled by the world. Now Lot, he is in Sodom. And then when you come to chapter 14 of Genesis, it says there was a war between the eastern kings, and they were invading or coming to war with Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities. Now if you see in chapter 14 and verse 2, it says that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, and all these joined together in the valley of Siddim. Now to cut short, when you read that chapter, it says these eastern kings, they invaded Sodom and Gomorrah, and then they defeated the kings, and they have taken them all the goods of the city, and they have taken the kings as captives. And when you come to verse 11, it says, then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Here we see Lot was taken as a prisoner of war. Imagine this man, as long as he was with Abraham, as long as he was under the shadows of Abraham, when he was fellowshipping at Hebron with the people of God, this man was safe. But he rejected that fellowship and he went towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tents there. He has become an official there. And what happened? The surrounding kings came and took him as a prisoner of war. Imagine he, his wife and his children, they are all chained from neck to the feet, and they were walking as prisoners of war. Do you know, in those ancient days, they would have taken out their eyes. They would have abused his wife and his children. They would have literally slaughtered them. But thank God there was one man who saw Lot, and he recognized this man is the nephew of that great man Abraham. And immediately the scripture says that he went and informed Abraham that your nephew Lot has been taken captive. Now do you know what Abraham would have done? That is his choice. That is his mistake. Let him suffer. He has to learn a lesson. Did he say that? A godly man does not say that. He was concerned for his brother. So what did he do? He has taken his 318,000 warriors who were with him, the trained men. He went and fought war with those kings. And he defeated them. And the scripture says that he has delivered Lot and his family. See the concern that this man. He did not leave his brother to be in that situation as a prisoner of war. Lot loved the world. Lot chose the world, and God let him have the world. But thank God for a man like Abraham. Abraham did not hold any grudges. Abraham mobilized his forces and he rescued Lot. And that is what as believers we have to do. When you see a carnal Christian, the first thing that we have to do is we have to separate from himself. Abraham did the same thing because he knew that if he is going to continue in fellowship with a carnal Christian, His spiritual life will be affected. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 13, as long as Abraham was fellowshipping with Lot, God did not speak to him. It was only, the scripture says, when Lot separated from Abraham, then God pronounced a blessing upon him. If you turn for me for a minute to 13, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. And we know that God pronounced a great blessing upon Abraham and his descendants. That is what we have to do. We have to live a life of separation, a sanctified life. But it doesn't stop there. What did Abraham do? Abraham rescued Lot as well. And that should be our burden as well. Today, more than praying for unbelievers, unsaved people, we have to pray for many carnal Christians today. We have to pray for many Christians who are living a backslidden life. They are loving the things of the world. They are attracted towards the things of the world. They are driven by flesh. They are not walking in the spirit, but in the flesh. And today, they need our prayers. We need to pray that this person, this brother or this sister should be rescued. Now here we see Lot was enslaved by the world. When Abraham rescued Lot, when Abraham returned from the war, what was he doing? He met Melchizedek and he was enjoying the fellowship of Melchizedek over the emblems of the Lord's table. But what Lot was doing? Lot was enjoying the fellowship of the rescued captives. Maybe he was dancing. He was having a party. Lot should have learned a lesson. He should have come to Abraham and said, Abraham, thank you so much. I did not listen to you. I went into the world and I became a prisoner there, prisoner of the world. But thank you that you have rescued me. I have made a mistake. But the pride of Lot came between. And the next time we see Lot, he was at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what is the special thing about sitting at the gate? Now, in the ancient days, a city gate has a great significance. A city gate is a place of power. It is the place where all officials met to discuss things about business matters. Judicial courts were held at the gate of the city. That shows Lot was one of the officials of the city. Maybe the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah might have thought, wow, I never thought Lot was such an influential person. His uncle is a great warrior. So let's keep our ties with this guy, you know, because he'll be very much helpful to us. And so they made him as a member of the legislative assembly of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the mayor or a very city official of that place. That's why he's sitting there and he's judging people and he's solving their disputes and matter. That shows how much he was controlled by the world. He looked towards Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then we see he dwelled in Sodom. Someone read Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, please. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin.
Yes, we are no more slaves to sin because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Sin does not have any dictates upon our lives. We can so say no to all sinful things. Now we are no more slaves to sin, but because we love Christ, we are slaves to Christ. Someone read Titus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, please.
Instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live sensibly, righteously and godly in the present age.
Yeah.
Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We should live righteously and sensibly in this perverse and wicked world. So that is the second thing that we see about a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is influenced by the world. A carnal Christian is enslaved by the world. And the third thing that we see about a carnal Christian from the life of Lot is he compromises with the world. Now we know that two angels, they came to visit Sodom. See the difference between Abraham and Lot. If you see Lot, three people came to visit when Abraham was resting in his tents at noonday. And one was the Lord himself. But we see here, only two people visited Lot. The Lord was not there. And we know the angels came and entered the city, and Lot saw them, and immediately he bowed down, he respected them, and he asked them to come to their house and live under his roof. But they refused. But he pleaded with them, please come to our house. He was showing a wonderful hospitality. And finally they conceded, and then they came and stayed in his house. And the scripture says, as soon as they came into their house, what happened? If you see in verse 4, chapter 19, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, they surrounded the house. Have you seen? Mark that phrase. Young and old from every quarter. That shows how rampant the sin was in Sodom and Gomorrah. The depravity of that place. And verse 5 says, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them to us that we may know them carnally. Have you seen that? They were longing. They were after the strange flesh. They wanted to have sexual relationship with these two angels. And you know what Lot says? The Lord comes out of the house, shuts his door behind. And when you come to verse 17, do you know how he addresses these people? He calls them my brethren. See how low this carnal man has stooped down. He's calling these wicked, sinful, depraved people. And what is he calling? My brethren. That shows Lot was living a compromised life. In what way he compromised his life? Firstly, we see he compromised his faith. There was no altar in the life of Lot. There was altar in the life of Abraham. There was a place where he could come every day and worship the Lord. There is a place that he can come every day to honor the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to fellowship with the Lord. But we don't find any altar in the life of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. He compromised his faith. How important, brothers and sisters, we need to have this altar in our lives. Today those altars are broken down. There is no time for us to fellowship with God's people. There is no time to fellowship with our God. There is no altar in our life. There is no prayer life. We don't have time to read the word of God. We have become so busy in this world. Literally, we need 1 minute devotions nowadays, isn't it? We need 1 minute devotions on the go. Wonderful apps have come out to have these 1 minute devotions, 1 minute prayers. Lot compromised his faith. Not only he compromised his faith, but he also compromised his fellowship as well. The day he separated himself from this godly man Abraham, he lost that beautiful fellowship of God's people. Isn't it? And that's why he was in that condition, in that state. How important it is to be in the company of God's people. We belong to the body of Christ. We love the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. We hang around the body of Christ. There is power, there is strength in the body of Christ, in the fellowship of God's people. No matter how busy our life is, how difficult our week was, we need to find some time on the Lord's Day to honor the Lord and to be in the company of God's people. There is strength and there is power. How pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. The unity in the body of Christ is precious. It is powerful. We should long for the fellowship of God's people. Lot compromised his fellowship. And thirdly, Lot compromised his family as well. Now when these wicked people, they came and they wanted to have a carnal relationship with these two guests, two angels, do you know what Lot did? If you see in verse 8, he says, he comes out and he says, "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you that you may do to them as you wish." Can you imagine? A man like Lot, the scripture says that he was a righteous man. He was ready to give off his two daughters in order to protect the strangers. As a father, he was supposed to protect his daughters. He is the guardian. He is the barrier to protect them from all evil, harm, and dangers. But here, this man is compromising his family. Why? He wanted to satisfy the immoral lust of these people. Because his focus was that he wants to have prestige, power, and possessions in the world. He doesn't want to compromise that, but he's ready to compromise his family. Lot was consumed with selfishness and compromise. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind, that you may do what is perfect in the will of God." How are our lives today? Are we compromising our faith? Are we compromising our fellowship with God's people? Are we compromising our families in order for the worldly possessions, prestige, power, and possessions? Lot compromises with the world. And fourthly, we see a carnal Christian has a powerless testimony. A carnal Christian has a powerless testimony. Now if you see, when these men wanted to break the door, the men of Sodom, and wanted to come inside, what did the angels do? The angels pulled Lot back in the house and they have struck these men with blindness. And then the angels says to Lot in verse 12, "Then the men said to Lot, 'Have anyone else here, son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place.'" Firstly, we see Lot was pleading with the men of Sodom and Gomorrah not to harm or do anything bad with these guests. And do you know what the guest says? Verse 9, "And they said, 'Stand back.' Then they said, 'This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them.' So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break the door." Have you seen that? when Lot was restricting them what this man did, who are you, mate? You came here as an alien, as a stranger, and you're living and you try to be our judge? Lot's words were not credible. They did not respect the words of Lot. They made fun of him. Why? Because he lived a worldly life before them. He lived a compromised life before them. His words did not have any credibility. Then later, when the angel said, if you have any of your sons, son-in-laws and daughters, bring them out, because we are going to destroy this city. And when you see verse 14, so Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. Isn't it? Lot believed that God is going to destroy this city. And he went and told his son-in-laws. Maybe they had a night owl party. They would have been just sleeping very early in the morning, went to bed. This man knocks at the door and says, son-in-laws, please come out. The angels have said they are going to destroy the city. They must have got and said, this old man, something is wrong with this guy. They would have said to his wives, why don't you tell your father? Why is he disturbing us such an early morning? It was joking for them. They ridiculed, they mocked at what Lot had said. The mob accused Lot of living a hypocritical life. He lived a worldly life before the mob, the people, and before his family as well. A compromising believer will usually be mocked, ridiculed, and rejected. Unlike Lot, if you see the testimony of Abraham, someone read Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19.
For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that God may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about.
See, Abraham, he will command his children to walk and his household to walk in the ways of the Lord. If you see Lot, there was no difference between his life and the life of the worldly man. Someone said rightly, when the testimony of the life does not agree with the testimony of the lips, the latter always goes unheeded. And not only that, we are living in such a world, when you speak the truth and tell the people that God is going to destroy this world, do you know what? They will believe a lie, but they will not believe a truth. That is called the spirit of delusion. And we see in these last days, God has sent a spirit of delusion in people. That's why when the truth of the word of God is being preached, people mock and they are ridiculed. They are ready to believe a lie than the truth. The scripture is true, my brothers. Someone read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10, 11 and 12, please.
And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth, so as to be saved, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness.
God will send a spirit of delusion so that they believe a lie and not a truth, so that they can come under the judgment of God. Because God has reserved Sodom and Gomorrah for the day of judgment. That is the fourth thing that we see. A carnal Christian has a powerless testimony. And fifthly, we see a carnal Christian does not yield to the will of God. A carnal Christian pleads against the will of God. A carnal Christian rationalizes his sin. When you read verse 15, it says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And verse 16 says, what did Lot do? He lingered. The angels are telling, rise and flee for your life, because God is going to destroy the city. But Lot, he lingered. And what did he do? He says, his wife's hand, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought him outside, that he said, escape for your life, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain, escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. In verse 18, Lord said, please, no, my Lord. I don't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to destroy it. It will become ashes. Every soul is going to die. Your cattle, your herds, everything, your business, everything is going to be destroyed. And what is he telling? No, Lord, I don't want to. God wants to give him the best, but he's pleading against the will of God to have the second best. How many times we do the same thing? We want to align the will of God with our will rather than aligning our will with the will of God. That is the sad state of a carnal Christian. He is pleading with the Lord. Forcefully they had to hold their hands and take out Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, but God could not take out Sodom from their lives. And do you know what? When you read, he's again bargaining with the Lord. And he's telling Lord, if I found favor in your sight, there is one small city here. Its name is Zoar. Can I go there? The Lord said, Lord, go with your family to the mountains. The Lord wanted to give him a mountaintop experience. But here we see a carnal Christian compromising his Christian life. And he's telling, Lord, I want to still live in the valley, close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, and it, the scripture says, Lord, it is a little one, little one. The word Zoar means little. How many times we bargain with the God and say, Lord, it is a little sin, little things, Lord. Let me tell you, these little things can destroy the life of a Christian. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15 says, little foxes destroys the vineyard. What are those little foxes in my life and in your life? They will become a stumbling block for your Christian growth, my friend. We need to deal with those little foxes before they can destroy your faith. Your life, Christian life. And that is the compromised life Lot was living. It is not enough to be saved. We should be sanctified. It is not enough to have life, but we should experience abundant life, because that is the will of God in your life. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, he says like this, little foxes that may ruin our relationship with Jesus Christ. The enemies may be small, but the mischief done is great. And how numerous the little foxes are, little compromises with the world, disobedience to the still small voice in little things, little indulgences of the flesh, to the neglect of duty, little strokes of policy, doing evil in little things that good may come, and the beauty and the fruitfulness of the vine are sacrificed. In our relationship with one another, in our relationship with our wives, our spouses, in our relationship with Christ, these little foxes can play havoc in our Christian life. We need to be very careful. A carnal Christian does not yield to the will of God. And sixthly, we see a carnal Christian loses everything that he lived for. He loses everything that he lived for in this world. Now we know that if you read verse 24, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plains, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. The sin, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah has become ripe. The sin and the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah has come before God. The two angels have seen firsthand how depraved the minds of the people are. And God said, "It is enough." Judgment has to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. The day of judgment has come, and God finally rained sulfur. He rained brimstone and fire and destroyed everything. When you read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "He destroyed the cities and made them as ashes." Even today, even a small plant doesn't grow in that place, Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything was destroyed just as God has promised. In the book of Genesis, God saw the wickedness of man was great, and he repented him that he made man. And God destroyed the world by floods. There will be a day when God will judge this world in tribulation, when a third of the earth is going to be destroyed. And finally there will be the judgment day. The scripture says the elements of the earth will melt. It is not by flood. It is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Someone read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 10 verse 15.
"Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city."
Have you seen that? Luke, someone read Luke chapter 17, verses 29 and 30.
"But on the day that Lord went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed."
Kindly someone read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, please.
"And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by building them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter."
All these are recorded, my friends, as an example. In other words, same thing is going to happen to this world as well. There are many verses regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. For want of time, we don't want to leave. But when you see verse 25, it says, "But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." We do not see any godliness spoken in the scriptures or recorded about Lot's wife. Lot's wife was very busy with all the kitty parties. She would have been very busy in the shopping malls, arranging the houses with all the latest furniture. And that's why when she came out of Sodom, Sodom did not come out of her heart. And she looked down at the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. What she was thinking, "Oh my God, all my children are perished. All my furnitures are burnt up. My house is burnt up. Everything that my husband has earned has gone." Lot's wife in the scripture has become a cautionary figure. That's why in Luke it says, "Remember Lot's wife. She perished, and she remains as a monument to what happens to those who, even on the threshold of divine judgment, resist divine grace." That's what she has done. She resisted the divine grace of God. And Lot had to pay a very high price. And you know what? He lost his family. He lost his fortune and he lost his friends in Sodom and Gomorrah. The scripture clearly says, what you sow to flesh, and to flesh you will reap corruption. Someone read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, please. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8.
But the one who sows to his own flesh, lives on flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, lives on Spirit, reap eternal life.
Remember, brothers and sisters, God is not mocked. What you sow, that you are going to reap. Lot sowed ungodliness and he reaped ungodliness. A carnal Christian loses everything that he lived for in this world. And finally, I close with this. A carnal Christian has a bad influence on his family. A carnal Christian has a bad influence on his family. Now, we have not read this passage. When you read from verses 30 to 38, we see a very shameful picture portrayed in that passage. Isn't it? We see Lot went up out of Zoar. God asked him to go to the mountains, but he went to Zoar. Now, something happened there, we do not know. Maybe he was afraid that he is going to die and God is going to destroy the city. He left that place, he goes to the mountain and he lives with his two daughters in the cave. Now, what happens? The two daughters, they have planned an immoral scheme that is unimaginable. And that scheme was, they were afraid that they are not going to get any boys to marry, that they are not going to have children. And that's why they have schemed an immoral scheme. And the eldest daughter says to the youngest, see what it says, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Wonderful excuse, isn't it? They want to preserve the lineage. And they wanted to have a carnal and an incestuous relationship with their own father, isn't it? And the youngest also follows the same thing, what the eldest does. Now the question is, where did they get this idea? Again, it is the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was acceptable in that culture. These girls, they grew up, they studied in Sodom schools, they grew up in Sodom culture. They know what it is to dance, party, drink. It was a part of the society and the culture. There is nothing wrong. Can you imagine? God told Lot, flee that country, flee that place, because I'm going to destroy. I'm going to destroy it with fire. And Lot would have thought, whatever comes to my hand, I will grab it. What did he grab? He grabbed wine because he was addicted to drinking. Isn't it? It is from their father, these girls was able to get that wine. Isn't it? Little things can destroy our lives. Many Christians, they call me sometimes and they ask me, brother, is it wrong to drink wine? And I say, why do you want to drink? Did any time did you drink? No, brother, after coming to this country, I saw everyone drinking. What is wrong? The scripture also says Timothy also had little this. Brother, when you never had, why you want to have now, brother? Don't have it. Don't make it a habit. It begins with small things. And finally, under the influence of alcohol, you don't even know what is happening. That's what has happened in the life of Lot. He was under the influence of alcohol. He drank wine. He was fully drunk. And there was an incest relationship. And out of that came two nations, Moabites and the Ammonites. These two nations were a thorn in the flesh of Israel. Why did Lot do that? Because Lot was a passive Christian. He was a passive parent. He was not knowing what was happening in the life of his own children. Brothers and sisters, there is an eye opening here. These things are not recorded just for the sake of story. They are recorded so that as parents we can open our eyes. It can happen to anyone. We are living in such a world, it is similar to Sodom and Gomorrah. We need to know what is happening in the lives of our children, what they are doing, what they are seeing on the computer, what they are seeing on the mobile phones. Be an active father and mother, active parent and not a passive parent. The scripture says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This primary responsibility is not given to the child care centers. This primary responsibility is not given to the Sunday school as well. It is given to the parents. Father and mother has to be active in bringing up the children. I am not telling that every children who grew up in a godly family will become a godly child. I have seen many godly parents, their children are wayward. But remember one thing, the seed that is sown, it will bear fruit at some point of time. Even when they have crossed their teenage years, when they have grown up, at some point of time the Spirit of the Lord convicts that young man and that young girl, and they will come back to the Lord. Mark my words. Are you an active parent or are you a passive parent? Lot was a passive parent. For the sake of worldly things, possessions, power, prestige, wealth, parents are sacrificing their families and their children. They have become money-centered people. Someone said like this, money-centered people often put aside family or other priorities, assuming everyone will understand that economic demands come first. A story has been told of a father who was leaving with his children for a promised trip to the circus when suddenly he received a phone call to come to the workplace to work instead. And do you know this father, he declined. And he responded and he said, I'm not going to come to work. When his wife suggested that perhaps he should have gone to work, do you know what this father said? The work will come again, but childhood won't. For the rest of their lives, his children remembered this little act of priority setting, not only as an object lesson in their minds, but as an expression of love in their hearts. Let me tell you, 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of car I drove. It does not matter what kind of house I lived in, how much money I had in my account, nor the type of clothes that I wear. But the world and the society may be a little better because I was important in the life of my child and my family. Let us examine ourselves. Let me examine myself. Are you a spiritual, growing Christian? Or are you a carnal Christian? If Abraham was called as a friend of God, Lot can be called as a friend of the world. He was a Christian, was just saved by fire. That's it. Nothing more than that. Do you want to be like Abraham? Do you want to be like Lot? May the Lord help us, and may the Lord bless the word that has been preached. Thank you.